Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, July 11th. Haha, 7-11, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us, as always, on thechairshot.com, as well as everywhere that you listen to your podcasts. I'm going to go around the room here and introduce this cast of characters like I always do. There's only three of us this week. Last week, we had our 200th episode. We had a big celebration here. We had a lot of guest hosts, a lot of people on here. We had a lot of fun. You can go back and listen to that one. That one is available, you know, right now. But first, without further ado, the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9. He is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how are you?
Gentlemen, I'm doing great. You know why? Because I just found out that the new edition of NBA 2K, NBA 2K25, will feature not only the great Asia Wilson of the Las Vegas Aces, but it will feature your defending, reigning NBA 2024 champion, Jason Tatum, of the Boston Celtics, of course, because they just won the title. I just want to remind everybody in case everybody forgot. But we're here to talk about wrestling. Good to see you guys.
Oh, God, it's going to be a long year. God, I hope they go out early next year. I don't know if I can do 12 months of this, Rob.
That's rude.
And speaking of Rob, from the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data, the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, and the man with the golden shovel. Rob, how are you, sir?
All right. Doing good this week.
Yeah, doing all right this week.
Yeah.
We're in the summer now, and I don't know if you guys have any plans. I know, Rob, you still got school-age kids. You got, what, a senior in high school and a freshman?
Yep.
Or getting ready to be a senior, getting ready to be a freshman. So you still got two kids in school. Have you got any summer plans, or are you just going to lay low?
Just going to lay low. My daughter's going to work a little bit this summer, and we're going to take her to get her learner's permit.
Oh, what? Boy. Well, you ought to see the look on his face over that one. You're entering the deep waters of parenthood now, Bubba. They got that car going, and that's it. So, Jason, what about you? Have you and Vacation Emily got any plans?
Vacation plans? No. We have a couple of family outings. We're going to, this summer, in a couple of weeks, the Tanglewood. I think I've mentioned that before. I saw John Williams perform there with the Boston Symphony. Oh, this nice. One's not special. It's just the Boston Symphony doing various, you know, classical pieces, I guess. But it's a big family trip. So my in-laws and my nephew and my nieces are going. So that's going to be a big trip. But other than that, no, we don't have any other trips this summer.
Yeah, we don't have anything planned over the summer, although I was looking at like a little weekend getaway to St. Augustine, because we're about 2 hours away from St. Augustine, and it's one of my favorite places in Florida to go to. So it's kind of eyeballing maybe like a weekend trip. We do have a cruise planned in October. We tried to make it a point to do a cruise every year because we just like that type of thing. I don't know if you guys have ever been on a cruise. I don't know if I've ever asked you that or not.
I have not.
Not like a long one, no.
Not a long one. This is a 4-day. We leave on Monday. We come back on Friday morning. I like it. If you have a fear of boats, obviously it's not for you, but I like how inclusive everything is. Like if I want to go grab food, I can just go grab food, or I can make time to go sit at a restaurant and eat. We typically get the drink package, which is always kind of it's a little pricey, but if you make use of it, it's very convenient. Ends up being just a nice 4 to 5 days relaxation for us. And we've tried to make it a point to do that once a year. And I've already told her, I was like, while you're on the cruise, they'll give you the opportunity to book your next cruise. And sometimes there's pretty good discounts with that. And I already told her, I said, I'm already eyeballing a slot of time next year, and I want to go on a week long. We haven't gone on a week long yet. 4 days is our longest, but we're looking at doing like a 6 to 7 day next year just to try it out and see if we like it.
Well, my mom and dad used to go on some cruises, and of course, my dad being the sailor would look at how many lifeboats there were on the ship. And he was counting the lifeboats.
That's awesome. Dad's not clocked out even when he was clocked out.
No.
Probably looking around like, okay, how many people am I going to tackle so that I can get on this boat ahead of them?
Oh, yeah, because it's a Titanic situation on those ships. They don't have enough lifeboats.
They never do. No, they're never going to sink, Rob. Never going to sink, never going to run into a rogue wave. No problems are ever going to happen. I'm telling myself that. So yeah, we've got a busy week this week, coming off of a busy WWE Premium Live Event weekend. We had Money in the Bank and NXT Heatwave. It's a busy weekend for wrestling, guys. A few surprises. We've got a bit to unpack here, and I think we should start. You know what? Let's rip the Band-Aid off here and go into the women's Money in the Bank match. Because I really think in another event, the women outshined. And I'm saying this because I really enjoyed the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. I think the women outshined them.
Yeah. I think
DJ's saying rip the Band-Aid off because, I think all three of us were pulling for Naomi. Boo. And B, like, yeah, it's time to have a tough conversation, guys. They smoked you. I mean, and I mean guys as in the men's match. That match was fun, exciting, and had the big spot that made everyone go, oh my God. And
it had a couple of them. Zoe Stark, I mean, we were going to put over the, Chelsea Green bump. The friggin' table bump was incredible, but we can't get out of here without talking about that Zoe Stark, Michinoku driver that she took onto the ladder because it was nasty.
That was awesome.
This was like this was the first year where they really went that far with the spots in the women's match. And I say it's I think ultimately it's good that they kept it to six people and that they had six women in there who all could physically do all the things. Because some years they don't. And it's a little raggedy, but, and that goes with men. There's some of you on the men's side where they have some guys in there. You probably just shouldn't be in there doing ladder spots, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's for like storyline purposes and whatnot that they put people in the match, but.
Yeah. Some people aren't built for car crash matches and that's okay. First off. And yeah, you're right, Rob. Like it's obviously a little different with the women and blah, blah, blah. But dude, sometimes half the men in their match is like, why are these guys even in there?
Right. In this case, they had six women who could all physically do all of the things. And so then when you have that, then you can turn it up.
Yep. And they took
We talked, you know, Jason mentioned briefly how I think we were all pulling for Naomi. You know, obviously she didn't end up winning. I'm not unhappy with who won. You know, Tiffany Stratton is perfectly fine. She's really kind of, you know, proved her worth on that roster. That being said, you know, Naomi and Chelsea Green were out there basically quarterback in this match. They both have the most experience. You know, Chelsea's a ring veteran. Naomi speaks for herself. And, but they both, what I really, really loved about it was that they weren't just out there to babysit the other girls. Like, they went out there and did their own stuff. Naomi had a couple of incredible spots in that match. The one where she was doing the split and then, you know, was still whipping ass while she split between the two ladders was absolutely incredible. Yeah, it just, like, I think all six women really, really elevated their game, really showed why they are where they are, and that they belong there.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with the winners, I mean, I believe I said that in some order, first being Naomi, but Naomi, Tiffany, and Chelsea would be the best Miss Money in the Bank.
Yes.
Not anything else. I don't care how the story ends. I don't care who they cash in on. I don't care if they win or lose. Carrying that briefcase, which hopefully there she's going to do for a long time, because Rob, what was the longest we've held a briefcase? Because she had two briefcases.
Carmella was like 10 months, and since then, EO was had it for a month, but everyone else it was same day or next day.
Yeah, they were running the stats on the pay per view premium live event, and I Corey Graves was saying that five out of the six or five out of the seven cashed in within 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, and you know, that was one of the things we talked about when we gave our predictions on this was, you know, I'd like to see one of the women run with the Money in the Bank briefcase. And the three that Jason mentioned are the three that would do the most with it. And that's not taking anything away from the other women. But yeah, with Naomi, there's an entire merchandise line that they could have run with a glow in the dark. Of course, they screwed the pooch on not doing a glow belt. So there's absolutely nothing to indicate that they would have done a glow Money in the Bank briefcase. But the idea is there. And even if she personally just carries one to the ring, you know, even if they never make a toy out of it,
it's very easy. You make it's okay. You got the gold stripe and you got the green lettering on the briefcase. You make the green lettering neon, you make the yellow lettering neon. On the back, you make it a boombox. Bing, bang, boom, we're out of here.
Yeah, so you had that idea there. You know, Tiffany's going to do what Tiffany's going to do with it. I thought, you know, again, Chelsea Green, there were so many, and we kicked around some ideas. One, she was my pick to win it simply because of everybody in that match. She's the one who could make the most out of a failed cash-in.
Yes.
And the women have yet to have a failed cash-in. And I think we're due. And she's the one that it would hurt the least and she could do the most with it because she's so ridiculous and she's so good at the ridiculous stuff. And she proved it in this match, the one spot where she's trying to jump up and grab the briefcase. And then at one point, because in kayfabe, she's afraid of heights. She may actually be afraid of heights. I don't know. But then she's trying to hit the briefcase with the ladder. Absolutely hilarious stuff from her. I'm not unhappy with the winner, though. I like Tiffany Stratton. I think I'm just interested to see where they're going to go with this. And I don't know if I want her to hold on to it for 10 or 11 months, because then we're going to end up like kind of in an Austin Theory type of situation. Like, what are we doing? But I definitely think she could hold on to it for a little while and use it as kind of a gimmick prop.
Yeah. And I hope just, Hunter, please avoid your big four pay-per-view temptation here. I mean, you know, don't jump the gun and have her do it at SummerSlam. Don't wait until WrestleMania. Just fucking have her do it on TV, man. You know, there's nothing wrong with just on the episode of SmackDown or getting a drop on whoever the women's champion is at the time and boom.
They did it with Big E.
Yeah.
Big E was a TV cash in, man.
Can I push back on something? I don't
know
if we need or are due or anything like that a failed cash-in. I think, honestly, keep going. Go for five more years because everyone's going to be waiting for it. It's in the cover, at least us, the Marks and the IWC. It's in the conversation after year two, I think it was. And what's this? We went 11 Money in the Bank briefcases before John Cena had a failed cash in. Am I reading that right?
Yes, that's right.
We got time. And honestly, I think the men have failed or buggered it up or cashed in for the United States Championship way too recently, and that's murkying the briefcase itself, no matter who it's for. So I think women should just go up, go to 10. I don't care. Go for it. Cause I think it should be more of a guaranteed thing than the last couple of years have made it. And so the only way you get there again is win after win after win after win, so that when you finally do that failed one, it hits like, oh damn, not like, oh, they did it. Okay, whatever. So, my two cents.
Because the men now, over the last 8 years, the men are now at 50-50.
That's what I'm saying. You can't, like, the women have got to help us, or help them, or whatever you want to call it.
The average.
Yeah, they got to bring our average up and just bring back that aura of invincibility or inevitability from the Money in the Bank briefcase. Because even after John's failed cash-in, I wasn't around at the time, but I don't think anyone had that hanging over them, or certainly after a couple of years, I'm sure that went away. So I don't know. Just my two cents on that.
Well, because that was the men is they well either they end up in a situation where they just don't want to do it because of who's holding the belt, like, you know, with Roman, you know, and now I think, you know, they don't want to do Cody, and they don't want to do Gunther, assuming Gunther wins at SummerSlam, right? So that puts them kind of a bind. And then some years they just put it, like when they gave it to Otis, and then you wake up the next morning, it's like, oh shit, Otis has a briefcase. You know, what are we going to do with that?
You know what though? That being said, the Law and Otis segments were hilarious.
That was
it made for some really fun TV. I cannot deny. Although, you know, in the moment I'm like, God, that's such a weird Money in the Bank discussion, because I absolutely loved that concept. Them just destroying WWE headquarters, Titan Towers. I unashamedly like both of those matches happen, and then they were simulcast because the women are going at one time, the men are going at one time, and it was a great cinematic thing in an era where they were really trying to throw shit at the wall and see what worked. There were some great moments in that, but that ending with AJ Styles grabbing the briefcase, and I'm like, fuck, AJ's gonna. And he fumbles the son of a bitch. Yeah. And it falls right into Otis's hands. Like, the timing on that was perfect. Like, we can say all we want about Otis, really, but there was some good shit right before that and some good shit right after that.
And we can't forget the Baron Corbin attempted murder
of Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black, tossing them both off the roof. He tossed Aleister Black right out of the territory. Yeah, no, I unapologetically enjoy that Money in the Bank premium live event.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yes.
But yeah, and honestly, dude, the women's division right now, like with everything that's percolating around it and whatnot, they're hot as hell. Just keep going. Keep going. Just keep shooting for the stars, man. And, like, don't ruin this with a failed cash-in. Keep going. I mean,
this wasn't the year to do it. Not for them.
No.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, like I said, I was just kind of fantasy booking in my head. If they were going to go that route, these are the three people that I think would have done the most in any one situation, and they picked one of the three that I had in mind.
Yes, I think Tiffany will be fine. And it also makes for some tension with her and Nia because they're buddies now. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, well, that'll make for some interesting TV. You know, they play it out long enough. And like, I want to give Chelsea some props because just for taking that damn table bump, we haven't seen one of those in a while. That was the Bubba Ray Dudley WrestleMania TLC table bump that she took.
And everybody gave her her flowers, rightfully so, man. That was a leap of faith. She stuck the landing. Everything about it was perfect. Jason stepped out for a minute, I think. Yeah, no, absolutely. Chelsea was a gem in this match, and we kind of knew she would be, you know, and I know she kind of, you know, maybe up until more recently, Chelsea Green flew below a lot of radars. And I know in her first WWE run, I know we had some episodes a couple years ago that were not flattering. You know, we may have got some jokes off, but she really is a gem, and she has become so good in this role that she's in right now. I have to imagine it's only a matter of time before they at least give her a brief run with one of the two women's championships.
And I gotta say, she's on opening, because the willingness to be like the one that gets the, you know, pocket in their face every week or whatever, you know. There really haven't been that many on the women's side, and you kind of understand, because they're all trying, I mean, because of just history and what they're all been trying to overcome all these years. You know, nobody really wants to be that, but yeah. In her case, I mean, she saw the opening, and yeah, you know, and she jumped right into it with both feet, and I mean, there's, you know, if you're willing to do that, like, you know, like the same, like the, you know, the Miz, he has the most losses in WWE history. If you're willing to do that, and you can, and you know, go all the way in with it, and you can make something out of that. And I mean, you got to commit, and she's committed.
Yeah.
You got to commit, and she's committed. And look, she can get another 10 years out of this easy. I mean,
oh, easily. There's an old adage in the business. It's called stupid sells. And basically, if you take a ridiculous concept and you lean all the way into it, you can make it work. And like you said, she saw a lane, she saw an opening, and she dove right into it. And she's been incredible, you know, and she brings a wealth of experience, so she can kind of help the younger girls along while simultaneously getting herself over. That's a hell of a professional. Like, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know the viewpoint of the people who don't know that, like, when she's not in WWE, you can find pictures of her with, you know, her forehead slashed open and stuff like that at indie shows. Like,
oh, she can get dirty.
Oh, and she does, and she's good at it. Like, whatever you think of that style of wrestling, she's not bashful. So it's kind of funny that, like, oh wow, seeing Chelsea Green, the character, go through that table. And I'm not shortchanging it. It was still fucking incredible. But it's still like, oh, yeah, people don't know. She is that crazy.
Yeah. And you know, and again, I'm glad to see her getting the acknowledgement online, you know, from fans. Because, you know, a lot of times a character like that, people don't take seriously. You know, the Miz has been eating crap from the IWC for 15 years. And, you know, when Chelsea does the silly stuff, there's, you know, that section of the wrestling, you know, internet wrestling community just doesn't appreciate that kind of stuff. And then she goes out there and takes a whiff. Like, every now and then Chelsea Green's like, let me remind you who the fuck I am. And this weekend, she reminded everybody who she was. So.
Yeah, go ahead, Jay. Spot. I'm sorry. Just still marveling at that spot. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, God.
All in all, though, I don't want to talk match by match. But we really, really wanted to put the women over here because we want to have a discussion tonight about women's wrestling, particularly some comments made by Bayley on Cody Rhodes' brand new talk show that we're, I guess, going to hype up. But we're going to put a pin in that for now, because I want to talk just in general a little more about Money in the Bank, because, you know, I know we're all in the Chairshot Radio chat, and, you know, the general consensus, at least in my little sphere, was this was not a great overall premium live event, especially given the history. WWE's been on a roll, and Tony and I have talked about this, and I know I've talked with you guys a little bit. The last 2 to 3 years, WWE has had very few misses. Even under the waning years of Vince McMahon put out a couple of banger premium live events before he was forced out the door. You know, you can agree with that. You can disagree with it. I don't care. His last WrestleMania was phenomenal. And some of his last SummerSlam was phenomenal. Triple H has been firing mostly on all cylinders. He's put out good to great stuff in the nearly 2 years that he's been in control of creative. This is such a hard discussion for me because I didn't hate it. Like, I really didn't dislike Money in the Bank this year. There were some great moments. The women knocked it out of the park. But, you know, the men had some really good spots in that match. And it led to, you know, another incredible CM Punk Drew McIntyre moment, furthering their storyline along. But I know a lot of people feel the way they feel. And I'll talk about the winner in a minute and how people felt about that. But there were just some things on this event that just didn't hit for me. And the one I want to talk about for a minute is Damian Priest and Seth Rollins. Because as I'm watching it in real time, I'm watching the match happen. I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. But the more and I'm not talking about the finish, because the finish is an entirely lengthy discussion and subject to so much interpretation. And who knows what really happened? But the more I'm thinking about the match, both guys were just either had a bad night at the office or they just didn't have good chemistry together. Seth seemed off a step, and that kills me to say because you guys know me, I ride and die with Seth Rollins. That's my guy. But he just seemed off. I don't think he was 100% ready to come back. Even if mentally he was ready to come back, I don't think his body was ready yet. And Priest just seemed to be having an off night. I've seen better from both guys. So this match for me, and Rob, I'll kick it over to you first. This match to me, again, we'll talk about the finish in a few minutes. But the match itself, what did you think?
All right, so I think Seth looked off. I really think he came back too soon. I think that's all it is, really. Some people pointed out he looked like he had been eating a little bit, but I have no idea. But he hasn't been able to work out that well. He had a damn torn knee.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, all right, enough of this. We watched that dude with his shirt off for the last, 8 years or whatever. He was looking a little tubby. Okay? We can all say it.
I mean, I'm nobody to judge anybody, but right. I'm just saying.
Say it. I mean, because I'm hanging it on, he 100% was supposed to come back in a month or two. I did not think, because this whole thing from the match on down, they may have got an absolutely spectacular finish out of it, but it seemed that at least the match seemed thrown together and seemed like both of those guys didn't know what they were doing as relative to their performance that we've seen them when they're on all cylinders.
Yeah, and so, look, I think he came back too early. And look, I mean, I picked him to win because I figured, well, hell, he wouldn't rush back to lose, right?
No, but he would rush back so he could, you know, start the journey towards one Philip Seymour Punk. This ends with me getting hands on this dude? All right, I'm on my way.
This is what I equate Rollins coming back to. Remember, at the beginning of the Tribal Chief era, Roman and Kevin Owens had this awesome, awesome feud in the Thunderdome era. And then about a year or so ago, as we were building Sammy's story with the Bloodline, inexplicably, Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns had another match. And it wasn't because they were having a match. It was a plot point in a story. Seth Rollins and Damian Priest was a plot point in the bigger picture of Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. So I never thought for a minute that Seth was actually going to win because I saw the bigger picture that he's basically there to help further along this other story. And that's one thing that I'll say Triple H has done well is weaving these different things together and trying to make a cohesive tapestry out of it.
Well, I mean, makes sense because Kevin came back and did that match. All it was a big neon sign to the audience. Hey, remember, he was a really, really, really big rival of Roman in this whole rivalry. I know Roman's had a lot of rivalries in this run. This guy was a big deal at the very beginning. Please remember that because we're about to pair him up with the most important part of this story. That's all that was.
Yeah. Because I thought, well, okay. I thought where they were going, I thought they were going to have Seth beat Priest and then Seth was going to be the one putting Gunther over at SummerSlam. That's what I thought. That's where I thought they were going.
Right.
But obviously not.
No, they.
It was kind of weird. It was, I mean, it was coming because I mean, they've done that a couple of times. I mean, is, you know, that, but yeah, I mean, it was a weird match. It wasn't the best from those guys. And I think Seth is rusty. He's been out. I mean, remember his knee was shot to hell.
Okay? Yeah.
And who knows what type of shit they pumped him up with to get him out there Saturday.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the finish, because I don't want to linger too much on any one thing tonight. We've got a lot to cover. The finish, this was really the big sore thumb of the whole event, really, because that's all anybody talked about the rest of the night was the finish. You know, Seth hits the Falcon Arrow, and Damian Priest, you know, the ref counts 1, 2. You're under the assumption that Damian Priest is supposed to kick out because Seth never beats anybody with the Falcon Arrow.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for Priest to kick out, and he doesn't kick out. And the ref very obviously counts 3, but then waves it off and doesn't count 3. And there's a lot of speculation as to what was supposed to happen there. A lot of people are saying, you know, Priest, and this irritates me because you don't know what happened in the moment. You don't know what the plan was, and you don't know what was going on in this guy's head. A lot of people were calling for Priest's head on a platter, saying that he fucked up the finish. I don't necessarily think that's what happened.
You don't even have to break it down that far. You can just watch the order of events in that what they happened and say, hey, was there a gap of 10 seconds there that might have screwed something up? Yeah, because it was kind of obvious to me that because Drew, what's his name, came right out afterwards.
Now,
didn't his music hit?
Okay, so they fucked the finish. You know, Priest didn't kick out, ref counted and then waved it off. And then, like, somewhere between, like, and I'd have to go back and watch it again because I may be off on my amount of time. It seemed like no more than about 5 to 10 seconds later. And you noticed Rollins is looking down to the ramp. The ref is kind of side-eyeing the ramp. I really, really, truly, and a lot of people were trying to discredit this. I really think this was a music miscue. I really think he was supposed to hit the Falcon Arrow. We were supposed to get a 1, maybe a 2. And then Drew's music was supposed to hit. And then they do the tropey thing of all the ref freezes and looks to the ramp. And Seth Rollins sits up and freezes and looks to the ramp. So we don't get a 3 count out of that. People were arguing that maybe Priest got his bell rung, taking one of the moves, and he was legitimately like out cold. Which is possible. You know, that's it. Stuff happens in the ring. There's been plenty of instances where wrestlers will tell you legit, hey, I got concussed and I don't remember anything in a match after a certain point. You know, Triple H's answer and discussion about it in the post-show scrum was a little ambiguous. He basically just said, hey, it was a bad day, a bad timing. The guy's awesome, and left it at that. Left it like really kind of wide open for interpretation. But have either one of you got a different take on this, Rob?
I think the music thing is, I think, that might be it, because like everybody was a little bit late. And so, I mean, it was weird when it happened, you know, but like I said, unless Priest had been knocked a little woozy which I didn't see if that happened. I didn't see when it did,
I didn't either.
Yeah. So like when we talk about the main event later, that there was an obvious point where somebody got bonked in the head there, but that I didn't see anything in this one. So yeah, I think the somebody hit the music too late or something. It was a miscue. I mean, come on, if you're calling somebody's head, that's stupid. I mean, come on, please.
Damian Priest has been fine in this role. Like he's been good, if not great, for most of the times. And there have been some instances where the guy has been great. You know, this is his first run as a world champion. I think it was just a big timing miscue, and I'm not breathing too heavy over the situation. There have been plenty of other times and plenty of other wrestling companies, WWE, AEW, WCW, where timing just got screwed up and the show went on and the people at the end of the day were fine.
Right. Because this match was all about what happened at the end of it anyway. It wasn't about what happened before Drew came out in the first place.
Right, right.
Now, I guess when I went looking for reasonable criticisms people had of this show, because you got to ignore the crazy people. The whole cash-in thing was one of the things people were not happy about, because basically they burned off another briefcase. Even though, look, I mean, what was the way it got burned off was very well done. But some people were not happy that they did it. And like some people, like I know who were rooting for Jay to win, they felt kind of like, oh, you know, like basically like, oh, so Jay can't win this, but then you screwed briefcase anyway. You know, they felt kind of like it was a waste. Cause I've been keeping track of this stuff. I mean, I don't think, like I said, we're 50-50 in the last 8 years with these things. I do think it's kind of getting to the point where, okay, if you guys really don't want to cash this in on somebody, you know, maybe it's time to take a break. If every other year you're kind of like, okay, we can't do it this year. If it's getting that frequent, then yeah, it's time to have some conversations, at least with the men's briefcase anyway. Even though, I mean, like this one was well done the way they, you know, had him fail, but still, some people were not happy the fact that, and that it happened so soon. But hey, guys, you know what? Now you know how the women feel.
Yeah. Okay. I think we can afford to waste one on the guys here, especially when right now nobody is successfully cashing in on Cody Rhodes. And with Gunther literally about to be crowned, you're not cashing in on Gunther anytime soon, because that dude's going to go on a generational run now with the World Heavyweight Championship.
The ultimate full circle moment would have been Roman Reigns cashing in on Cody Rhodes, because that would have been full circle for Roman Reigns and no one else. But anyway.
If he ever cashes in on somebody, it should be Rollins. I mean.
Well, right.
Right, because that's where the story is for him.
Yeah.
So let's talk about one more quick match, and then we're going to get into the main event, because the main event, I'll be honest, was fun. But I want to talk about the Intercontinental Championship match, and I want to try to turn this into a 30-minute discussion.
Hey, DJ.
Yes.
You and Bob, why don't you just take a nice lay down on the psychiatrist's couch? Both of you are just going to let it all out. It's going to be okay.
Well, okay. That's why I went on that long diatribe in our chat, though, so that we wouldn't do it, so that I wouldn't still be doing all that here.
Well, give a concise version of your thoughts, and then I will be there to pick up the pieces.
Okay. In the moment, I thought it was dumb to have just a straight up clean finish like that. Especially since they're not finished. I mean, with as far as with the feud or whatever. Now what I will say now is I just need some, as far as people's reaction, I need some consistency. Is it bad or not? If something like that is bad, then we need to be consistent, and it needs to be bad all the time. If this one wasn't bad, then there are several other similar situations where a whole lot of you folks were ready to march on Titan Towers with torches and pitchforks. And so if this one was okay, then I need some of y'all to go revisit some of those and change what you were thinking back then. But just to me, and just I think individually, just in the moment, I thought there are a bunch of other ways you could have gotten the same winner for the match and not do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, let me start by saying, first of all, the match was freaking awesome. It was a good match. Like, Bron Breakker has really elevated himself. Next thing I'm going to talk about here is Sami Zayn. You guys, okay, look, people were pissed off saying that Bron Breakker should have won, Sami Zayn should have lost. Sami Zayn. You mean the same Sami Zayn that you fucking people thought 12 months ago should have dethroned Roman Reigns?
Right before WrestleMania.
Yes, before WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, it was worth it to blow that moment for Sami Zayn. That's how much you fucking believe in Sami Zayn.
Right. Now, fast forward 12 months later, Sami Zayn in his second championship defense. This is the Sami Zayn that you guys wanted to win it all. You wanted to win it all. He's undefeated. Sami Zayn's as hot as he's ever going to be. We want to give Sami Zayn the world. They give Sami Zayn the next best thing, and you guys want him to drop it to the rookie 2 months later.
Well, to be fair, to be fair, they wanted him to drop it to Gable before that, though. I mean,
I think people were more in their feelings about Bron Breakker. And I love Braun. This is not a knock on Braun. He's going to be awesome, but that's part of my point. He's going to be fine. People jumping on the app formerly known as Twitter talking about how they've already fumbled him. The dude ran Ricochet out of the territory in an attempted murder. You know, the guy has been destroying everybody. He has one L on his record on the main roster, and it was in a competitive match where he gave Sami all he could handle. And it's Sami goddamn Zayn. Okay?
DJ, answer me this. Who did he win said Intercontinental Championship from?
Gunther.
Yeah. And what was Gunther in the middle of doing?
He was on a generational run with the Intercontinental Championship.
Right. Everybody can calm down about little Sami Zayn being the underdog. His promo on Monday was kind of hilarious because he was talking to you people.
Yeah, I think him winning the Intercontinental title, I think for some people it felt like more maybe like it was a thank you win and not a win that was what.
A consolation prize,
because the TV show as presented said to me the guy that almost beat Roman Reigns, the guy who did beat the Bloodline, the guy who beat Gunther, if I'm watching the television show like a normal fucking human, that guy's unstoppable.
And why can't Sami Zayn be a dominant champion for a few months? Like, Sammy's always the underdog from the underground.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been punching up his entire career. I think it's okay if Sami Zayn punches down one for a little while.
That was his promo on Monday. He's like, guys, I'm not the underdog. I haven't been the underdog in years. I'm here now. Like,
he arrived. He finally got where all these people thought he should have been 6-8 years ago. You know, when he came out and because they do this shit every 5 to 7 years, every time we get a crop of graduates from NXT, they did it with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn came out and in his first main roster match, had a match with John Cena for the U.S. Championship and a U.S. Championship open challenge, and he lost. And he lost spectacularly because he had a great match, even with an injured shoulder, but he still lost, and everybody did the same goddamn thing with Sami Zayn back then that they're doing with Bron Breakker now. They've already fumbled him. They've already ruined him. Here he is almost, 8 years later now, and Sami Zayn is one of the biggest fucking stars on their TV program.
Give me one reason to worry about Bron Breakker on the main roster other than losing an Intercontinental Championship match clean.
He's also 26 years old for the record.
And here's the other thing. What was his last loss before that?
It was
lost to Ilya.
It was the note at
no. No, he lost the tag team titles with Baron Corbin.
Well, and did he end? In a singles match, he lost to Corbin at No Mercy last year.
That's right.
Last year. Okay. So guess what? He lost clean to a guy that you people and he thinks he should have beat. And you know what it did? It drove him fucking crazy. And he went out and tried to kill Sami Zayn again. And we're off to the races. Everybody needs to relax about Bron Breakker. That match was perfectly fine. Would I have preferred a, like, okey-doke roll-up, something like that, just so it's simpler storytelling that you people need to be spoon-fed for? Sure, I guess. But really, guys, I'm all for panicking at every move they make, but when they make a bunch of really, 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 really good ones with somebody and then make one questionable one, it doesn't mean the sky is falling.
Right.
Well, I want consistency. I know that's too much to ask.
You're asking for two different things. You're asking for the consistency in the the interpretation of the fans of what's going on, which is never going to happen, Rob. And then I agree, a lot of this does depend on what happens next with Bron Breakker. So far, I would say aces, because his first loss on the main roster has driven him insane. Perfect. That's storytelling. If suddenly he's, if by SummerSlam he's like milling around on the pre-show, wait a minute, we got a problem. I'll agree with you then.
Well, all right. Because I made a mistake yesterday.
Uh-oh. What did you do?
I'm in Facebook group, and I replied to somebody.
You said the FB word.
Rob, I don't know if there's any hope for you, man.
My dear friend, what have we talked about with the Facebook wrestling? Facebook wrestling is worse than Twitter wrestling.
I replied.
Oh, no. What Rob, did you do? In the famous words of a Ghostbuster, what did you do, Ray?
I took the bait.
But this is a lesson to everybody. Stay away from Facebook groups of all shapes and sizes. Unless you're in a yard sale group. I don't know, man.
Look at him. He's ashamed of himself.
I took the bait, and I had to defend the honor of my queen. I'm sorry.
All right.
Now it's getting worse.
We're moving on. What else happened at Money in the Bank that we need to talk about?
We had a main event that was absolutely bananas. And again, not without some controversy, not without some people heavy breathing over a couple of spots. But all in all, I thought it was chaotic, freaking fun. I enjoyed the main event. I can look past the spots. And one of the spots that was, you know, what people are calling a botch was when, all right, so it's Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa.
Yes.
Tonga Loa was the one who was not in the ring, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so Tonga Loa took a nasty headshot. He took a bump. He hit his head on the announce desk, and brother, it was loud. Like, he rung his bell. And then maybe a minute or two later, he had to go in and give, was it Randy or Kevin? I think it was Kevin, a nut shot.
Yeah.
He ended up punching him pretty much in the rear end on the first one, went for the second one, and punched his brother in the head. But guys, we got to stop with this shit. Oh, you guys drive me insane.
The guy banged his head on the table.
Bro, we are lucky he remembered the spot at all.
Because I saw a couple indie workers comment on it. They're absolutely positive he rung his bell. He didn't know what planet he was on.
So I have easily the least athletic experience in this chat, and I can tell you that guy didn't know what planet he was on. But he did know that he had to get into that ring and punch someone somewhere, and he was going to try at least twice, and he did.
Yeah, and so, it's we're lucky that he got back in the ring to do the thing in the first place. I mean, so now this was the match. This match was one of the things that caused people to, you know, criticize the show, though, because for some people that I saw, it felt like another episode of Nitro where the NWO is standing tall over everybody and they beat the shit out of everybody again.
Well, and at this point, it's the NWO, like, you know, when we got 40 members, we don't have any original members left anymore. You know, it is kind of similar imagery.
And some people
it's
just
NWO black and white after the Wolfpack became cool.
Right.
Yeah, and so some people are just, and I guess they've seen, you know, they've seen enough Bloodline beatdowns or whatever to end shows, and they just didn't want to see another one.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, part of it is, like, I think they're leaning into Solo the Pretender, like, the whole thing. I just liked how they did, because to finish how the match ended after that little spot, you know, they unloaded the clip on Cody, and, well, lo and behold, Solo Sikoa pinned him to the mat 1-2-3.
But you needed that because all I've heard for weeks is Solo Sikoa is supposed to be the tribal chief, but he's 0-42 this year. And I'm like, At what point does the guy stop being 0-42? This night is the night you do that. If you want to legitimize him as a threat, because if Solo Sikoa is a guy who continues to lose, it takes the money out of the bag when Roman Reigns comes back. You've got to suspend a little bit of disbelief and make people believe, hey, Solo may be, he may have, went on a losing streak, but Solo's the real deal. Can Roman handle the heat when he gets back? That's the money.
It's also holding up a mirror to the original Bloodline. When did Solo finally get his shit together? Well, when he had a bunch of dudes to do his dirty work for him.
Yeah, and look, as I've said often about many people, when, at some point they got to win something.
Yeah.
And right now, okay, because had they lost that match and had, God forbid, he taken the pin, then 0-42 would have been all over the internet again. People have been bringing it up. Like, he loses all these matches all the time. So he needed to win something. And also you can't debut Jacob Fatu and then have them lose the match.
God, no.
You can't do that. Okay. And
side note, what a fucking athlete that dude is.
I mean, I told you guys. Didn't I?
Wow.
I've been telling you guys for a while.
Man, that dude is legit.
Rob, you're not even lying. He literally is like all the NOI. He's NOI's thrown into a friggin' blender. It's insane.
And I mean, and he left some stuff in the chamber.
Oh yeah.
Cause, look, he can do the, I mean, he can do the Tiffany Stratton moonsault. He can do that, where you hop up to the top rope and then do the moonsault.
Split leg moon. Yeah. Or no, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, he did it,
it's called the prettiest moonsault ever.
I don't think they're going to say that about him, but I don't
think not for a guy they call werewolf.
Yeah. But, I mean, he did that like 30 pounds heavier than he is now.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude's crazy. My God.
Yeah.
So, out
of all those guys, because, I mean, look, I think, honestly, once this whole thing is over, I think, look, the Tongans are probably not going to be long for the company after this is all over. I just don't see them hanging around for another 3 years and doing whatever, but.
Well, Thomas 40, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I fully disagree. I think this is a retirement.
Like this may be the last, let me collect the bag before I call it a career.
And they might sign a 2-year extension at the end and then say, okay, we'll do the farewell tour or whatever. And maybe they want to wrestle till they're 70. Who knows?
But I think Jacob is definitely going to be there.
Jacob. Yeah, they're eyeing that dude for bigger things already.
Yeah.
So.
Jacob's going to be a force.
All in all, man, I don't want to linger too much longer on Money in the Bank. I thought it was a fine show. It was not great. I would say it was probably easily the 7th or 8th best WWE premium live event this year. Easily. And I know that sounds like a backhanded comment. But, all in all, I thought it was fine. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit of NXT Heatwave. By stark comparison, the feelings on Heatwave were much different than they were Money in the Bank. Before we go to commercial break, I want you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirts that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check them out. Pick one up. If you pick one up, the starving artists on this show will thank you. Pick one up in soft style. Your body will thank you. That's prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we get back, we're talking NXT Heatwave.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
And we are back again. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We are going to talk NXT Heatwave, and I'm going to go right out of here and say, you know what? We are, just for a one night only, we went back to a time when the general consensus was NXT's show was better than WWE's main roster show. And I have to believe that. I had a hell of a lot of fun Sunday night watching Heatwave. Like, every single match clicked for me for different reasons. And there's little discussions we could have about little things, but all in all, man, Jason, what did you think? I thought it was a great show.
I had a ball of a time. It was from kicking off with Oba and Wes, and we were off to the races, man.
Oba and Wes was my match of the weekend. And it barely nudges out the women's Money in the Bank. But unless I find out that Wesley is a horrible human being or like he kicks a puppy or something, I will ride and die with Wesley. That dude has won me over at all the house shows I've seen him at, all the work he's done on TV. I am a Wesley fan for life. So I want to give him his flowers because I know when we talk about that match with him and Oba, we immediately rush right to Oba because Oba is just a freaking monument.
Yes.
To what this industry should be, and we love him for all the things. But I don't want to get through this match without giving Wesley his flowers because that guy is on another level.
Yeah, I'm very excited that they finally ripped the Band-Aid off and we're doing the Rascals MSK reunion. So we're very excited for that because we've put over MSK, we've put over the Rascals, blah, 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 on this show. And then biggest thing, because I just don't want to lose Wes either. Cause the dude's just awesome. I think the biggest thing about him is his aura. As much as I hate that word's being thrown around now, he just seems like a genuine cool dude. And then obviously he's a great wrestler, but we're going to gush about Oba Femi. Cause oh my God.
Always.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. And just, let's be fair, he's relatively new. So, like, compared to Wes, there's plenty of shows putting Wes over. So, there you go. But Oba, man, like, the way he comes out right from the entrance, like, he does the shoulder shrug to the beat of the entrance. I'm just like, this dude's a monster. This dude's a comic book character. It's everything I want about wrestling. And that's how he carries himself, so. Yeah, the match was awesome. Rob, go ahead.
Oh, man. When he did the kind of the F5 kind of thing, he threw him up in the air and spun him around. Oh, my gosh. 5,000? Yeah.
Yeah, 5,000 is what they're calling it.
But,
like a pizza pie.
Yeah. That guy, man. And for me, I think. Yeah, I'm with you, DJ. To me, that was my match of the weekend also. Just because, look, I mean, I'm always partial towards big dudes beat the shit out of people.
Okay, yeah. You know?
I know why I watched pro wrestling as a kid.
Yeah. That was something else. I dug the show.
Credit to Wes, because when someone proposed that spot, Wes was probably like, hell yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, and like, we love Wes, and that dude has just come back from so many things. Like we said before, he was left dead in the water because his partner got canned, and he could end up on a list just by no fault of his own, right? And so,
yeah.
I mean, to come back from that and to carve out the path that he's carved out in NXT, and then he had the back injury, and to come back from that, I mean, that dude deserves all the, you know, flowers you can give him, we love that guy, Deb, man, and both of those guys, man, that was just something else, man.
I'm going to share a quick quote from Oba Femi. He was on the A Show on RNC Radio. And Oba Femi names, this is the whole tweet I'm going to read out here. Oba Femi names Gunther and Ilya Dragunov when asked who he'd like to face on the main roster. I love this quote. Like, this dude, this is the fucking stamp for me right here. I like people who do simple things well, and I feel like those two are the embodiment of that. And that, my friends, is pro wrestling in a nutshell. Like, you can enjoy all the flashy, flippy, no sells, 37 moves in a row. This business was built on less is more. The biggest stars to ever set foot in that ring made it by the less is more. Do the less very, very, very well. And for Oba to be in the business for a year now and to get that is awesome to me. Like, that's just, again, it comes back to, I'm like Rob, I'm a big fan of the big guys, smash, crush, destroy. And give me that any day of the week over 37 kickouts and trading off Canadian destroyers. Sorry, kids. That's just what I like. It's what I enjoy.
And, cause when we watched some of those Steve Austin matches from, you know, and he became a bigger deal when his knees were fucked. And he couldn't do it anymore.
He made more with less.
Yeah. You know, and then.
I mean, recent example, the Tribal Chief. You know, he has a certain moveset. And, by the way, I saw him pull out a Rough Rider once about 3 years ago, and I've never seen him do it again.
Right.
And, it's just.
I'm mad about it, by the way. Yeah. God, bring that thing back.
So, and that, I mean, that's the whole key, learning how to, you know, figuring out how to get people into what you're doing without having to do 50,000 things. So it's good that he's thinking that way. And also because, and look, he's a big guy. I mean, you know, I mean, we don't need to see him doing cartwheels and shit out there, man. Come on.
No. One thing that I liked the dynamic of this match, and I shared this with you guys. I know we're lingering on this one, but it's my favorite match of the week, and I don't care. Was the Oba is the big guy, and he already knows enough not to give the little guys too much. He made Wes come and take it from him. And yes. Wes is out there trying to chop down that giant oak. Between the work they put in, and I don't know who helped produce that match, but that thing was perfection. Like, the whole thing was just Wes punching up, Oba just, you know, giving him all he could handle. It just, God, it was, I want to go watch it again, like, right now.
Wes played it like a video game. It was so cool. He played it like, light attack, all right, that's not working.
The big thing. And
sorry. Enziguri! Like, and he's trying the bigger stuff, and then Oba was playing it again, exactly like a comic book or whatever. You know, the light stuff isn't doing shit, but oh, okay, the big stuff's doing stuff to me. It's kind of like how, you know, it would look for someone my size pushing me. It just made all the sense in the world. It had all the gravity and the weight that it should have.
Yeah. So, a couple quick things here. I want to talk quickly about the NXT Women's Championship match. I thought it was fun. I thought it was a good match. I thought Lola looked okay. Very obvious that Rocks has the experience, and the experience won out on this one. Liked, you know, we talked to you earlier about some miscues on the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. There was a little miscue towards the end. Rox was supposed to hit Lola with a series of the Pop Rocks. Lola kind of sandbagged one of them, or I don't know what happened. But Rox just grabbed that ass, dragged her in the middle of the ring, and hit her with another one, man. And we talked in the Discord chat a bit with some friends of ours, and I know Maddie is not a big fan of heel Roxy. I like it. Like, I like the way she's working in the ring. She's a little gal, and she's out there like a pit bull. You know, just she's aggressive, and I like it. I like what I see.
I think she, for a while, when she turned heel, I was with Madeline. It was just totally unbelievable. You're playing a character, and I shouldn't realize that at every moment that you're speaking. She found the balance, I think, recently. And she knew how to work, like, a match heel. But she found that balance between bratty and dangerous, where, you know, where she... At some point, she plays like she's a bratty kid that doesn't know what she's doing. And then at the other point, she plays like she's the, or I should say, she's the spoiled kid who gets what she wants. And then she's the girl with the baseball bat. And I think she found that balance.
Yeah. I think somebody probably had the same conversation with her that Vince had with AJ Styles. We've talked about this on this show before, and AJ has kind of commented on what Vince told him. That, you know, I've got a dozen superstars on this roster that can have that match. I need you to give me this. And the way AJ explains it was, he's like, I'm not the biggest guy on the roster. I've got to be a pit bull. You know, I've got to make this believable if I'm going to be a shorter, and at least at the time before he got himself all enhanced and jacked up, he was not the biggest guy stature-wise. And I really think somebody probably looked at Roxy and said, look, you're giving away a lot of size here. You know, some of these girls look like they would wreck you. If you're going to be the champ and you're going to be the top girl on this company, you've got to go out there and be this. And in ring, I think she's being that. She's aggressive and it's believable to me.
Yeah.
She wrestles less. She fights more.
Yes. Go ahead, Rob.
Because I think it was necessary. She's been a really good in ring worker for a very long time. I saw her in Ring of Honor back 3 years ago. She had to come up with something else because otherwise you end up being Zoe Stark, basically.
Yeah.
They put in the match because you can do the work and you can do all it and all that, but you don't win nothing.
Right. Right. Hey,
but you get to hang around with Trish Stratus and now you're in a faction with, Shayna Baszler and, oh my God, her name just fell out of my head.
Sonya Deville. Yeah, welcome back, Sonya Deville. Always welcome on my TV, man. By the way, again, as a side note there.
I'm embarrassed when her name fell out of my head because welcome back and you look wonderful and this faction of, what was I telling you guys last week? Zoe is, you know, awesome. She was awesome as, what was it,
Trish's enforcer.
Leather jacketed enforcer. Well, now she's a team of leather jacketed enforcers and they just want to beat the shit out of people. Sign me up.
Yeah, I dig that. Otherwise on this card, there were some, like I said, the matches were incredible. The NXT Tag Team Championship match was really, really good. There were a couple little spots in there that I kind of had to breathe a little bit through. I don't buy Axiom, who's my size. Actually, he's a little shorter than I am. I've seen him live. I've stood 2 feet away from him at the barricade. He's a little shorter than I am. Hitting big ass Duke Hudson with a Spanish fly from the top rope. But I'll let it slide because the match was really good. But unfortunately, I think Nathan Frazier injured himself, didn't he? Who got injured? Somebody tore their pectoral muscle over the weekend.
Oh, no, that was Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate. You're right. Tyler Bate. I'm sorry. They both got the long blonde hair. I mixed them up. So Tyler Bate, get well soon. But yeah, otherwise though, man, this match was awesome. You know, I don't know what we're doing in the future as far as Chase U goes, but they're obviously teasing someone's turning heel with Axiom and Nathan Frazier. I don't know who's going to be the one, but all in all, I thought that match was great.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's okay. Once in a while, get a little black and goldy.
This match was very black and gold.
Okay. Especially in NXT, man. Like, cause they never go to the AEW New Japan level. So, you know what? Let them rock once in a while.
Yeah. So, I want to talk about just briefly about the NXT North American Women's Championship match. Because that, again, was another subject of contention. They had a sequence in there that was beat for beat Ricochet and Ospreay. Yeah. And, maybe not quite as clean because both of these girls are still in developmental and both of those guys had been going for almost 10 years by the time they did that sequence. But I know in the Discord chat, people felt the way they felt. And I know we've talked at great length about this style of match. Very, very kind of comes off as contrived, but I got to be honest, there was some really slick counters in this. Like, there was one, I don't even remember exactly where it was in the match, but Kehlani went for something, it got reversed, and then somehow or another it got turned into a really, and it was really crisp, it got turned into a backslide. And, you know, so at the end of the day, while I may feel how I feel about these types of matches, I thought the girls did really well. I have to remind myself that they both are still in developmental. Sol Ruka and Kehlani are both still in developmental. They're still working on that. And I think if they can take that gymnastics stuff, because they're both gymnasts, you know, they both have, you know, gymnastics backgrounds and they're very athletic. If they can take some of that and...
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Work it into a match that to me is a bit more competitively believable. I think we may be cooking with something with both of these girls here.
Yeah. Boruka hit a 450 lariat.
That was a thing of freaking beauty, man.
5 stars. I'll have another. Thank you. That's my review.
Robert?
Well, okay, as far as just something to just watch, it was very enjoyable. But again, you remember that, like, they're developmental. And, you know, they both do great doing the spots. It's just, you know, obviously they're going to learn how to do the other stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So, just going to, you know, keep watching, you know.
Polish it up.
Yeah, 2 months, 6 months, a year from now. You know, like, it's great that they did this time. If a year from now they're still doing this exact same time of thing, then, you know.
Yeah.
Not so good, but, I mean, it was fun to watch. And it's just, you know, we've been critical about these kind of matches in other places and from other people, so.
We have to keep the energy.
But I think that's where I want to interject, that it is the mid-card women's title for the developmental division.
Right, and I think that's why I'm not breathing too heavy. Plus, like you said, there were some slick things. Somebody pulled off a surfboard. I never see the surfboard anymore, and I love the surfboard as a submission move. And then there was another, I don't even remember, halfway through.
Slide.
The what?
There's some backslide that I remember going crazy for.
A couple of backslides, and then there was another submission. I think Sol Ruka put Kehlani in some type of weird – all I know is Kehlani looked like a pretzel at one point, and it was absolutely incredible. I popped for it. I was like, holy crap, that my back hurts watching this. So this, it was fun for what it was.
Yeah, you just put it in that lens. That match for the, again, mid-card women's developmental championship. 5 stars.
Yeah.
And by the way, I do want to note something here, because Kehlani was on Busted Open and she was asked about dream opponents and she named 2 people.
Yeah. Was Charlotte one of them?
Well, one was Bianca Belair, and then yes, and the other one was the 14-time women's champion.
Oh, look at that. Well, she's starting to make appearances, Rob. I think we may be getting close. I think by SummerSlam, if not by SummerSlam, right before SummerSlam, I think we're going to see the queen back.
Well, I don't want them to put it this way. One thing I want them to have some actual shit planned for her to do.
Zoe Stark. No. Look at him.
Tell me, they got some
stuff. Whoa. Zoe Stark now. I mean, I'm sure Rob wants to go in some singles action, but hey, Zoe Stark now means Charlotte needs some friends. So if Charlotte does some trio stuff for a while, I wouldn't hate that. And I'm not saying to get her off the board of championships and whatnot, Rob. It's just something different.
Well, because her and Shotzi were supposed to go after the tag team titles. They had planned on doing that, but then they both blew their knees out.
Yeah, they both got injured at, like, the worst possible time.
And that would have been a fun pairing.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I'd rather her be 100% and come back 100%.
Yeah.
It's been a rough year. It's been kind of rough over here. Okay. I'm not going to lie. But I would rather, because I can tell you right now, those people on the internet are not going to let her go out there like Seth Rollins did. And she's going to get all types of hell from people if she goes out there.
She will.
Going to mention good thing for her. I know them from 10,000 feet, but she's probably more likely to say, no, I'm not ready than Seth Rollins.
Yeah. Probably. And that's a topic for another day, but just listening to some interviews she's done in the past, she's kind of had her own experience with that, with rushing back and not rushing back.
Yeah.
And so she's not really, she ain't doing that type of thing no more. So
good. Nope. She learns to say the magic words, not going to work for me, # brother.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of, hang on, I got to get my basket of, flowers and my basket of stars out here. Because we got to talk about that NXT main event. Brother? Javon Evans, and we love Trick. We love Trick, and this is nothing against Trick. Javon Evans was the fucking star on Sunday night, man. Now, Trick looked good, and I got a couple words about Trick in a minute. But that kid is just, when he did that freaking, what was it, the tope over the corner and then put Trick through the barricade? Oh my God. I went back and watched that and somebody just shared on Twitter earlier today, like 6 different camera views of that. And it's every bit as incredible with each different view.
Dude, that guy is just a bundle of talent. Like once. I see him in a couple of years. This is going to be a very, very fun time.
Yeah. And he can cut a promo too. Like the kid can talk.
And I mean, we've said that about Trick 6 months ago. So, I mean,
yeah.
And we're not dogging Trick at all. We've already put Trick over plenty on this show.
Yeah. But one thing I do want to note about Trick Williams is how much more, like I said, for the last 2 years, it's been okay. People have been helping get Trick there. You know, this one helped get Trick there. Dijak helped. Ilja helped. All these. Yeah. But Trick has fucking learned his craft, man. I'm watching him out there and he's getting all of it. And he looks so much more natural out there than he did a year ago. And that's been such a, like, I'm amazed that I got to watch all that in real time.
Yeah.
Dude, he looks so comfortable now.
Like, he does.
Doing stuff, you can just hear it in his voice. You can hear it. Like, I feel like a dork saying it, but like, it's true. Yeah.
You see the way he moves in the ring and he moves with the confidence of somebody who's like, yeah, I got this now. Used to be Melo's hype man, but now I'm my own guy, and you see it when he's out there.
Yeah, he's not like walking to the next spot, you know, if that makes sense. Like, he's just owning it now.
Yeah. So I know a lot of people felt the way they felt about the finish, and I know in the moment we were all kind of like, what the hell was that? But I got to be real, the last – and again, this is another one of those timing things that we talked about with like the Iron Survivor. The timing of this finish left almost no room for error, and all 4 guys hit the mark. It was incredible. Like, say what you want about the finish, the final outcome of the match with All Ego Ethan Page winning. The freaking last 30 seconds was just art. You know, everybody hitting their cues, everybody. The only thing that it did is, and again, I'm looking at this like an idiot, like I shouldn't, is how dumb does Sean Spears look when Javon takes the knee, he takes the bump, or no, Javon got hit with something, Trick got knocked out. At any rate, Trick's getting ready to come in and make the save, and Sean Spears, for whatever reason, grabs Trick and doesn't let him break up the count. That's the only part of that whole sequence that I was looking at. And I'm trying not to.
Okay, he explained it. He wanted Trick to lose. He didn't care to win. He wanted Trick to lose.
See, I haven't seen NXT yet, so.
Yeah, and that's what I thought in the moment, honestly, because they've been playing him as, like, he's playing a comic book villain. Like,
it wasn't about him winning. It was about Trick losing.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
All made say he grabbed Trick. Like, he was like, no, watch this happen.
Yeah. Okay. I can buy that. To me, that's palatable.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense, and I popped for it in the moment because that's what I thought was going on. Like, not to sound all smarty pants, but like, yeah, that's how Sean's been playing this character. He's not quite like Joker crazy, but he's a little bit off his kilter, you know?
Yeah.
Look, I gotta say, you know, I was one of those people that when he showed up, I said, "Really? They brought the Tin Man back? Really?"
He's been effective, man.
Yeah.
I don't hate this run.
Because, again, he's leaned into the just silly Saturday morning cartoon villain. And, you know, you guys know me. That pops me to the moon.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, I had nothing. Like, when Sean Spears left, 5 years ago to go to AEW, I didn't blink. I kind of side-eyed it when he came back, mostly because I'm like, okay, why did this guy come back? Like, why was he unhappy in AEW? But I got to be honest, I'm digging this run, man. I think they're letting him cook and do his thing, and I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds so great, I think, unless anybody else has anything else, I'm good with the premium live event talk.
Okay, because I know we've gone like really long here. I know.
Yeah, we did. Do we want to save the other segment for next week, or do we want to get into it? Because we could end up going to another 30.
How are we doing?
We're at about an hour 20 now.
Yeah.
You want to put a pin in it and talk about it next week?
Yeah.
All right, we'll leave that like a little cliffhanger. We do have some women's wrestling discussion we want to do next week. Going to talk about that and whatever big news comes up. And if nothing comes up, maybe we'll do a watch-along. Who knows? We'll see what happens. That's the thing about the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Some weeks we just call it in the ring, and whatever happens, happens. And this week we had a lot to talk about. Some of it positive, some of it a little questionable, but it's what we do here, guys, and we're glad you guys were along for the ride on episode 201. I got to remember to number that so I don't forget. Anyway, I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, starting with Rob from the Rob the Genius Podcast. Sir, good talk tonight.
Again, always good to be here, man.
Yep, always fun having you. And this is another one of those weeks where, you know, we talked about it last week with Greg and everybody. Had a rough day today mentally at about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, so we record between 7 and 7:30, and about 3 or 4 o'clock, I was seriously sitting there going, man, I love my guys, but I'm just not feeling it today. Like, mentally, I wasn't prepared for it. And then, like Jason said last week, then we hit record. And once I'm in here and I'm with my guys and we're cooking, now I'm good. You know, now I'm ready to go. And this was definitely one of those weeks. Jason, sir, I appreciate you guys for that.
Well, you're always appreciated, my friend, and I'm glad we could provide that. But wow, you know, what a good weekend we were fed. And I'll give everyone a little preview as to what we were going to talk about is the WWE Women's Division, despite, you know, some things on the margins, they are cooking with gas in a lot of places. And we're going to go over that next week.
There's a lot of talent already there and some really hot looking talent coming in. We're going to break a lot of that down next week, talk about it. I am DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. Again, thank you for listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network, to be found on thechairshot.com. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.